calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which Kum is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast that was, it is not. It is an eighth that belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the angel said to me, the waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will eat the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman that you saw is the great saint over the kings of the earth. The grass withers, the flower falls to the earth, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's look to him for his blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the God of truth, that you speak, and we are to listen. We pray that we have listening ears, hearts to receive your truth, although it may be difficult to understand and hard to accept. We pray that we would receive it as it is the very word of God, and that we would be transformed by the power of the indwelling Spirit, conforming us to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the Word that came flesh and dwelt among us, and that by faith we have beheld his glory, that of the only God of the Father. We pray that as we hear his voice this morning, we would respond in love and in obedience, and that we would not be afraid of the enemy that surrounds us even now, and we would know that we in Christ are more than conquerors. For he indeed is King of kings and Lord of lords. So we bow before King Jesus, and we proclaim his glorious name, and we give thanks to you, our Father in heaven, for sending glory to your Son, our Savior. We pray in his name alone. Amen. I don't want to do an entire recap. If you weren't here last weekend, you're aware. I am utterly convinced from this passage of Scripture that the great prostitute is, in fact, Rome. The woman you saw in the last verse is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. As I said to you last week, just about everybody who comments on this passage, this chapter, sees Rome as the woman, the beast, the harlot, seated on the beast. Everyone is pretty much in agreement, but after they agree that yes, this is a depiction of Rome, what we'll do with that becomes very interesting and very diverse. But we do have a picture here of Rome, particularly of pagan Rome. And I'm afraid I haven't always been clear on that with what is being a cruelty against followers of Jesus Christ. He's the first persecutor. He's not the greatest persecutor. There will be further persecutions of Christians. Some of them will stand in the empire. Some of them will be limited in their scope. But now, as John is looking at what is going on in Rome, he sees the woman sitting at the moment, triumphant, exercising dominion and authority over all the earth. He sees her seated on many waters. And we know what those waters are. We're about to speculate, although it's amazing how many people do speculate, and even reform commentators speculate what the waters mean, when we're given the answer right here in verse 15. The angel said to me, "The waters that you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." So we know what the waters represent. They represent the people of this world. And when Rome was at the height of her power, she ruled over many nations and tribes and tongues. Not as many as will be found in the kingdom of heaven, but over many in that period of time. She had great power and dominion. And the 10 horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. The 7 hills, 7 kings, that's fairly easy. Now we come to these 10 kings. And how difficult it is, I can't begin to describe. There are all kinds of ideas and thoughts about what these 10 kings represent and who they are. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't have a definitive answer for you this morning. I can't tell you who the 10 kings are. It's very mysterious. Some suggest that there are 10 emperors that follow after the 7 described earlier on. But we're told that they will hate the prostitute. They will hate Rome. That doesn't seem to make sense to me. Are they barbarian kings, those who will be involved in sacking the city of Rome and attacking the empire again and again in the years to follow? There have already been uprisings against Rome. But these are to come. They have not yet received royal power. So they're set in the future. We're going to talk about what's going on in the past, the 5 kings who have been, the 6th who is, which fits very well to Nero, and then the 7th who will come for a little while, and that's Galba, who will reign for 7 months and 7 days. So that seems to fit very nicely. We have specific details given to us there. But with these 10 kings, we aren't given the same detail, the same description of who they are, what they're going to do, and then they're going to fight against the prostitute, and they're going to finally hand over their royal power to the beast. So who they are exactly, we don't know. Are they 10? Or is 10 here being used as a symbolic number for fullness? You can't answer that. You can get all kinds of ideas away, but we just don't know. But what we do know, and what is important here, is that as the beast drives Rome in its paganism, the Lord is going to overthrow that power. They are of one mind, they hand over their authority to the beast, they will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Those with him are called, chosen, and faithful. There is going to be war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them. Someone has said we can summarize the whole book of Revelation this way: Jesus wins. Wow, long series of sermons with 2 words. but that's what it's all about. It's encouraging an early church that is facing persecution. We saw already how they face persecution first from the Jews and from the Romans. We read this morning from Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you're going to be persecuted. Expect this. For so they persecuted prophets who went before you. Can't shy back from speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Just because we know it's not going to be acceptable. It's not going to be, or I'm going to get applause. You put up a video on YouTube subdues us to himself, he rules over and defends us, and he conquers and restrains all his and our enemies. The covenant with Abraham is intact. God says, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. God brings us into union with himself by the Holy Spirit being faith in us. And this covenantal promise is for us. We are his friends. And our friends are his friends. And our enemies are his enemies. There's an identification of God through Jesus Christ with his church. We see it perhaps most clearly and startlingly on the road to Damascus when the apostle Paul is struck by that bolt of lightning that reveals to him the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. And Jesus says to him, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? At that time, Paul's thinking, well, what do you mean? I'm not doing anything against you. I'm just going after people who call on your name. I'm just going everywhere I can to find those who call themselves Christians and deal with them, because obviously this is a heresy. Those who are followers of Jesus are loved by Jesus, and he defends them. He conquers and restrains and conquers all his and our enemies. There is a union with Christ that must never be forgotten. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, I'm here to you this morning, very briefly, that it is those who are called and chosen and faithful, who will, by the means God has appointed in Jesus Christ, will conquer pagan realm, and down through the ages will conquer all, eventually, the enemies who rise up against the kingdom of God. That may seem strange to you, but that's certainly a stretch. But I draw your attention to Paul's final words to the church at Rome. The church he'd not been to. It's interesting, isn't it? That Paul writing to the church of Rome as he wraps up his most theological epistle, the one that clearly expounds the doctrines of grace and God's saving work. He says in chapter 16 and verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We are the instrument, the church, believers, followers of Jesus Christ, the chosen, the called, the faithful, are those who will subdue the enemies of God. Your enemy, of course, means Satan. Notice how Paul prefaces this wonderful statement that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. And I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. God uses a holy, dedicated, commended people as the land conquers all his and our enemies. Notice they're not the same, but they are inseparable. And that's why we read here that those who are with the Lamb who conquers, they are called and chosen and faithful. Jesus will conquer all his and our enemies. And he does it. baptism